talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which is coming up January 22nd through the 24th, 2021, and also the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August, and we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which happens every April. Well, today we've got a very, very special guest that we're going to be talking to. We're going to be talking to Sue Wadden. She is Director of Color Marketing for Sherwin-Williams, and she is a top executive with Sherwin-Williams, and an interior designer, helps Sherwin-Williams come up with their color schemes and their colors of the year and all that good stuff. And we've got a very special, it's an exclusive interview with Sue Wadden. We'll also be talking to Joseph Dulsa with Advanced Window Fashions, and also Drew Taylor with Carpenter's Restoration. Well, I did mention the Charleston Home and Design Show happening January 22nd through the 24th, 2021. We've just begun booth sales. We've opened up booth sales for that. And if we have any listeners that own companies that cater to high-end homeowners that would like to talk to us about being in the Charleston Home and Design Show, I urge you to give our office a call at 843-577-7652, 843-577-7652. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the our fall issue, our brand new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine is now out. It is available at just about every home-related showroom throughout the area, all the lighting showrooms, flooring showrooms, you name it. Have a great weekend. And joining us on the phone right now, we have a very special interview with Sue Wadden with Sherwin-Williams. She is the Director of Color Marketing for the Sherwin-Williams brand. How are you doing, Sue?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Sue, take a moment and just tell our listeners about your position as Director of Color Marketing for Sherwin-Williams, the Sherwin-Williams brand.
I've been doing this now. This is almost, my 22nd year in color marketing, and I've been with Sherwin the whole time. And now, so my assignment now is to just be sort of the leader of color initiatives for the company. So whether we're launching a new paint and product line or we're working on a color trend forecast, I just kind of lead the direction for color for this global brand.
Gotcha. And what does it mean to be the face and voice of color for Sherwin-Williams?
Yeah, it's a spectacular job, right? I'm employed to keep Sherwin-Williams current and talking to homeowners in the right way about color, or talking to designers or professionals in the right way about color, and really teaching people how to use color in their homes or in their commercial environments. And so it's a really a unique job. It was kind of an evolution from design school. I'm an interior designer. That was my background. And I'd never really heard about color marketing specifically. And then I kind of entered into this world right out of college. And it's been a really interesting, it's an interesting job because the way we talk about color for different segments is a little bit different. You know, when we talk to homeowners, we want to simplify the color selection process. But when you talk to a designer, you want to be a resource, right? You want to be able to help them do their jobs better and make sure that they have the quality products and beautiful colors to support their work. So it's a job I can, you know, say this with all emphasis. It changes every day. And we have, I just love it. I'm super passionate. So yeah.
Yeah. Good deal.
It's been quite a busy 20 years, I guess.
Right. Talk about color trend forecasting. What goes into forecasting color trends for designers and homeowners and picking the color of the year?
Yeah, so that's one of my most favorite things to do. We have a team every year that gets together and we forecast what is going to be happening in color, you know, for like the next season. So it's usually like a 12 to 18 month, you know, look ahead at where color is going to go. And what that is, it becomes sort of a primer for designers to help, a glimpse into the future, if you will, so that they can see where design is going. So my job is to like coordinate with our global forecast team all the ideas and information that we're seeing in the industry. And it's a unique group. There's about 15 of us that represent the brand globally, from industrial wood to architectural coatings to you know, the paint and coating side, Latin America, Europe, China, and we get together once a year and we put this forecast together, and a lot of research is done throughout the year, and we pick up on like where color is going. For instance, this is just an example, grays are really shifting out of favor in the design community, and we're looking at warmer neutrals. So that shift is maybe homeowners aren't seeing that yet, but directionally professionals are seeing it. So because we have an advanced look at what's trending, we can help then guide that conversation with homeowners. So the result of all of that work is our Color Mix Forecast, which we launch usually in June at NeoCon, but because of COVID, we made some changes, and so we launched it this September. And this year's forecast is all about the rhythm of color and how color is kind of helping us create sanctuary spaces as we move into 2021 in this post-COVID world, current and post, hopefully soon, and what that's going to mean for color.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that was a very long response. And but color of the year, I guess I would touch on that just a little bit, because that's kind of an interesting nugget that we pull out of our color mix forecast. So usually there's one color that's the color that we're seeing across all our little research segments, and something that represents really like a unifying thread throughout all of our stories. And that ultimately becomes the color of the year. And so what's good about it is it's like a kind of a wink at what's coming in the future. So whether we're in a design show at Europe and we're seeing the furniture all kind of trending into like a walnut wood color and it's paired pink, you know, that might be an indication on a key color. And I'm not saying that our color of the year is going to be pink this year. But it's kind of like a look ahead at what we're going to be seeing.
I see. I see. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Like, how does Sherwin-Williams determine what the color of the year will be? Is it based on data? Are you seeing based on the colors that people are choosing currently, like in 2020? And that's how you kind of determine the direction of the way things are heading?
No, so it's definitely a look ahead. So we track information from design shows, trend reports, forecasted information. So again, pieces that are just a little bit forward thinking. And that's where we pull a color from that kind of fits into that storyline. So that, say, within a year, you'll be able to go shopping at your favorite retailer, and that color will be present. So again, it's a way to look ahead and show where color is going to be, and open up that conversation. So, we're talking a lot about sanctuary spaces. Our forecast is all about feathering your nest a little bit and looking inward and, kind of getting us through this COVID situation. And so our color of the year for 2021 is going to reflect that. And so we felt from a design perspective, it's a great color, but as we navigate through, the day-to-day life that we've got now, it's a color that's going to resonate with consumers as well, if that makes sense.
Sure. And what is the color of the year for 2021?
We will have to jump on a call in a couple of weeks, because we're going to make that announcement on September 22nd.
Okay.
If you can maybe have another conversation, I could tell you all about it at a later time.
Okay.
But not yet.
I gotcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. Just out of curiosity, I'm sure you're familiar with the historic colors of Charleston palette that Sherwin-Williams has.
Yeah.
Have any of those colors ever been close to being one of the colors of the year?
Yeah, I love that palette. It's such a beautiful collection. So we haven't necessarily featured one of those colors specifically, but we've seen, so if you look at the last 5 years of our colors of the year, colors are much richer and deeper and darker. We've definitely keyed in on, Naval was our color of the year for this year. We've done Poised Taupe. We've done colors that are just a little more historic in feeling. So I would say that you could parlay that into a Low Country palette that makes sense. They're not bright, playful colors.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't been a specific Charleston inspired color.
Has over the years,
that color palette has been important for such a long time. I really, really love it.
Over the years, have you seen trends with the historic colors of Charleston?
Well, I'm definitely seeing more color. So I talked about the grays, a few minutes ago. And even on exteriors, we're seeing people take a little bit more risk with color than they have in the last 5 years. So we're seeing really dark exteriors, much more color on the outside and inside than we've seen, via Instagram and social media accounts of influencers over the last 5 years have been lots of white and gray. We're seeing an evolution and a shift. And I think a lot of that speaks to renovations and what people are doing to their historic homes. I'm in Cleveland and, I have a 100-year-old house, right? So color plays a little bit differently with this architectural style than it would say in a new construction project. So I think those classic colors, that's why they're classic colors. They always have a place and a relevancy in, certainly older communities, but I think even in newer communities, the interest in those deeper, darker colors are kind of reemerging.
Mm-hmm. Do you find most homeowners choose the colors for their, for the exterior of their home based on just what their preference is, or Do they ever, and I guess I'm asking this question because when we built our house about 11 years ago, we sat down with our paint contractor and we said, what type of shade will hold up to direct sunlight so that it doesn't look faded or anything like that over the years, which, you know, is normal. It happens all the time. And we ended up choosing the color deerskin off of the historic colors of Charleston. And it was because of the light reflective value was such that
right.
we could predict that we love the color, and we knew that it would hold up because certain colors absorb sunshine sunlight more than others, and others will reflect it and will not fade as quickly, right?
Yep, exactly. So a good rule of thumb is anything in sort of the middle of the LRV value. So, well, or the higher value for the south. The lower the number LRV, the darker the color,
mm-hmm.
and the less, like you said, to your point, the less reflection. So you want to stick within a probably 50 to 60 range or higher in a sunnier climate for just a little longevity of the product. The products are really, you know, so good now, exterior products as well. The fade resistance characteristics are just improving, you know, with every product launch. So while that's a consideration, you know, if you do love a darker color, it's still, you know, it's still beautiful on an exterior. But to your point, there's a lot of different rules of thumb when you're picking an exterior. A lot of play, you know, for instance, if you're in South Florida, maybe there's not an interest in, you know, deeper, darker hues. But if you're in the Arizona region, you want sort of a desert-inspired collection. So oftentimes we find that people take cues from the region. Certainly historic colors of Charleston are a key kind of historic collection in your region, that low country vibe. So we use that as a guidepost sometimes with color selection, but it's also material. So if you have stone or brick or roof shingles that maybe features aren't going to change, it's helpful to coordinate with those products as well, because you certainly don't want to pick, you know, your favorite color and not have it match the brick or the stone, because it's a big investment to paint an exterior. There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of prep expense. You know, you want to get the color right. So I find that if you just do a little homework, like to your point that you did when you were building your home, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I've always been kind of curious over the years if people take that into consideration or not. But that's interesting. How are designers, interior designers, working differently with color than they were in the past?
I think there's, again, I referenced it earlier, there's just a reinvigoration with color. Even if you look at design magazines that are coming out within the last 12 months, it's all about color and pattern. I think we've been in this Scandinavian minimalism thing for the last kind of design cycle, the last 8 or 9 years. And I think we're now getting back into color. So we're going to see warmer, brighter tones, jewel tones, interesting patterns. It's not going to just be so sort of clean, you know. I mean, there's a place for that, but I think it's exciting time because as we turn into this next decade and we kind of figure out who we're going to be, color is going to be a key part of that.
Mm-hmm. Our next issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine that comes out in January our main feature will be on kitchens. And I'm curious about your opinion of using color in the kitchen.
Love it. But you know where I love it now as a trend is on the cabinets. So instead of just gray or white, which are beautiful and obviously traditional, we're seeing greens and blues show up, whether it's a navy blue or a Charleston green, which I love, which is almost like a green black, or sort of like a forest green, or even like a gray blue, sort of a mid-tone. Those colors are being shown sort of in the trending world as like exciting new kitchen designs, and they look really beautiful. So you would pair that with, you know, maybe white walls or a real light neutral, and it looks modern and fresh and contemporary, but these are, you know, these are kind of like classic historic colors. And they look great on cabinets.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that, if that trend takes hold here in the Charleston area. When I interview cabinet companies here in Charleston, they tell me that about 9 out of 10 kitchens are white.
Right.
For the cabinetry.
You know, it's interesting. I have a great nugget to share. So we have an industrial wood team, and they do a lot of work with cabinet manufacturers. And Lauren is on my color forecast team. Anyway, like 5 years ago, if you went to a kitchen and bath show, you would say that stained cabinets made up 60 to 70 to 80% of customer preference at the time. And then within like an 18-month cycle, it became white and gray as like what people wanted. So mm-hmm. that shift was really fast in kitchen and bath. And then it kind of has been a mainstay maybe for the last 3 or 4 years. So we're starting to see a shift. Like you'll start to see maybe some like scrubbed pine cabinets with white, or like an accent piece that's a wood finish or something darker. And I think eventually it's going to hit kitchen and bath and kind of make a transition out of just white and gray. They'll always be there. They'll always be really important. But it's not the only thing that people want to see.
Gotcha. What's your favorite color rule, and what's your favorite color rule to break?
So my favorite color rule, boy, I think my... this is a hard one. I always paint a white ceiling, but I broke that rule as well. But I think white is the best choice for a ceiling because it basically neutralizes reflection. So you paint a dead flat on your ceiling and the light absorbs into the flat and just makes the room look brighter. But on the flip side of that, I've broken that rule in several areas in my own home and painted ceilings darker colors because I just wanted to try it and see how it would react in a room. So my walls are really light and my ceiling's really dark, and I've got, nice crown molding, and it looks amazing. So I would say my favorite rule is white ceiling, and then it's fun to break it sometimes.
Well, whatever color you use on the ceiling, make sure it's actual ceiling paint, because there is a difference, and it less yes. splatter with the ceiling paint versus...
Your hair will thank you.
Where do you find inspiration for design and color?
All sorts of locations, I guess. I do a ton of research. Certainly the internet is the easiest way. The Pinterest and the house and the architectural websites, they're just great. But it's also about going to shows. So, pre-COVID, we, through our little forecast team, we would cover all the kind of global design shows here in North America, but also in Europe and Latin America. And it's a great resource, right? Because companies are putting their trend foot forward and showing new furniture lines and textiles, and you get a lot of inspiration from going to those shows. So while we've kind of been on pause this year with COVID, I'll look forward to getting back out there soon.
What's your favorite Sherwin-Williams color?
It changes, but there is one color that I just love and have always loved, and it's actually the exterior of my house. It's a color called Anonymous, and it's a darker gray, but it's a really warm gray. It almost can look brown in sunlight, and again, I have a 100-year-old house, so it looks amazing with white trim, and I've got a historic orange color on my front door, and the combination is just like, that's kind of my... kind of my zen. I love it. And I've used it inside, and I've used it on my shed, and I've used it everywhere. I love this color.
How often do you repaint at your home?
Oh, you are so funny for asking that. I paint all the time. I love it. It's like my favorite thing to do, to transform a room. So I'm currently painting all my cherry cabinets white in my kitchen, and it's quite a process, but I get a lot of satisfaction out of painting. So I probably paint every 6 months maybe. I'm taking on a new project.
Well, you've got a great source for paint, no doubt about that.
Exactly.
Well, good deal. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners recognize that this interview with Sue Wadden is a pretty big deal because she is at the top of Sherwin-Williams in terms of the colors that are being determined as director of color marketing for Sherwin-Williams. So we're very, very pleased that you took time out to speak with Charleston Home and Design Magazine today. And how can folks get more information about Sherwin-Williams?
Well, certainly the easiest way is our website, Sherwin.com, and there's resources on product and color and trend information and designer resources and homeowner support. It's just the best and easiest way to get more information. But there's also 4,900 paint stores out there, and so there's probably a paint store close to you. So if you have information and want to know more about products, just walking into our store is a great way to interact. Yeah, give us a try. If you haven't tried Sherwin-Williams before, I'm passionate about working for this company, and I believe in the products and the colors.
Well, I always remind our listeners when we're talking about painting to never use cheap paint. Always buy quality paint like Sherwin-Williams, and because the cost of the paint is a fraction of the overall cost of a paint project, and it just doesn't make sense to buy cheap paint. Always buy quality paint. Well, we have been talking with. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know what, I would add one more thing to that. As I've learned over the years, it's quality paint is important, but also quality, the application products are really important. So, like, get recommendations on the right brush or roller for a particular product, because that will even make your surface look even better if you kind of take that into consideration on your project.
Well, that's true, and might as well take it a step forward, further, and talk about painting is very much a DIY project, but professional paint contractors very often step in to save the day when the homeowners when the result of their painting job isn't what they were hoping the outcome would be. So we
exactly.
definitely want to promote
exactly.
the professional paint contractors out there. Well, we have been talking with Sue Wadden, Director of Color Marketing for Sherwin-Williams. Thanks so much, Sue.
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here today.
And joining us on the phone right now is Joseph Dultz with Advanced Window Fashions. How you doing, Joseph?
Doing good. Yourself?
Pretty good. Joseph, take a moment and tell everyone about Advanced Window Fashions.
Okay. So we are a window treatment company, primarily with Hunter Douglas. We are a Hunter Douglas gallery, and we specialize in their window treatments, everything from Roman shades to cellular shades to shutters. We specialize in the motorization and home integration of said treatments. Right now we have the PowerView motorization, which is capable to work with any of your smart home devices, i.e. Alexa, Google, Control 4, where you can set up. So you can say, tell Alexa to open up your windows, or when you say good morning, all the shades raise, or good night, and all the shades come down. We do also do motorization with shutters, which is a kind of unique process. So we have everything to treat your windows from energy efficiency to privacy, and achieve the look you are going for.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Talk about the motorization of the for window treatments. Does that require? If somebody has an existing home, do you have to install electrical power to go to each of the windows, or how do you retrofit an existing home?
Very good question. There are multiple ways to power a shade. Obviously, it's a little harder to run power to an existing window, which is awesome. PowerView just came out with, or Hunter Douglas just came out with, a lithium-ion rechargeable battery pack, so you don't actually have to have current power to the window. ideally in new builds, you'd want to pre-run the wires. But yes, they have the rechargeable batteries now, which is really cool because they last for about a year and they take about 3 hours to charge, and they can be recharged 500 times. So it saves you a lot on batteries in the long run. And also, the other cool thing with the motorization is that you can control from your phone, which is another cool thing I just thought of with the application. So, you know, obviously you've got your remote, but you're able to bring up your phone anywhere in the world and be like, oh, I forgot to shut my shade. Then you can control it, your shades, and close them. So it's a very, very cool feature of the product.
Out of, let's say, 10 installs that Advanced Window Fashion does, about how many have the motorization?
Out of 10, I'd say about 50%. Here recently, I've personally done a few, a lot more motorization. It's becoming more and more popular, and people know about it. And it's a very cool feature, like I said, being able to, especially when you come to your super high windows, not having cords hanging down or having to get on a ladder to operate your window treatments. You can just pull out your phone or grab the remote and up and down they go.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool. What's the reliability like? Because some people are kind of low tech. They are not super comfortable with, something that is, they're going to have to figure out and really spend a lot of time with. Are they fairly simple to use?
Very, very simple. You don't need your phone. Like I said, that's, I guess more of the tech savvy people using their phone to control it, but they have what they call the Pebble, where it literally says 1 through 6, which is your shades, and then open and close. So it's literally just it's like using your TV. Like, it is that simple. I mean, most people know how to use a TV no matter what age you are, and your technical abilities. So it literally has a remote. You point, click, up and down. Very simple. The product itself is very reliable. I haven't had to do, pretty much haven't had to have to do any with the power view, any kind of fixing of any kind of shades, so other than changing batteries out, you know, basically once a year. And now with the rechargeable battery, it's even as simple as just plugging a cable into it. Their new mounting system's magnetic, so you're able to pull it down, put in a charging station, or take a cord and plug it in. So they've got multiple ways to recharge the battery, which is very, very helpful and makes it very convenient.
Mm-hmm. And plantation shutters are very, very popular in the Charleston area.
Very.
And you said that even plantation shutters could be automated?
Yes, they are able to. Obviously, you can't open the panel, but you can control the louvers via motorization with the Palm Beach line.
That's pretty interesting. Speaking of plantation shutters, I think the last few times I've talked to you folks at Advanced Window Fashions, plantation shutters have been probably the most popular window treatment. Is that still the case?
Yes, I would say of my sales, I would probably say that I'd say a good 75% are probably plantation shutters.
Mm. Gotcha. What do you attribute that to?
You see, if you look at any of the home renovation shows, and it's just one of the looks down here, I would say, is that people tend to like plantation shutters. It's a nice clean look.
Does Advanced Window Fashions, do you have a particular type of material that your plantation shutters are made out of?
It's a polysatin shutter. We have... you've got the polysatin, which is the Palm Beach. You've got wood, and then you have an engineered wood, which is the new style. We do all three.
What's the difference between the poly satin and the engineered wood? Because aren't they both considered a synthetic material?
Yes, that is very true. Being the polysatin is a complete composite, whereas the new style still technically wood-based product. So the polysatin you can really wipe down with water, and it would be completely fine. And with any of the woods or the new style, which is the engineered, you'd still want to be careful with moisture.
Mm-hmm. Is there any restrictions on the type of color for those plantation shutters if you wanted to match the trim around the window?
Correct. So the polysatin is nice if you're trying to match white because it comes in three different whites, whereas the new style and the wood, you've got as many color options as you can possibly think, basically. So there is, if you're trying to match a certain color that is not a white, you'd want to go with the hybrid, the new style, the engineered, or the wood. And that being said, Underdog Voices' warranty on those products is second to none compared to maybe some other manufacturers. Whereas basically anything goes wrong with them, it's pretty much covered.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about wood like warping or going bad because that's part of their guarantee and promise.
Gotcha. And talk about how Advanced Window Fashions is how you folks interact with customers these days
especially moving forward with the pandemic. So we are still going out. Obviously, we sanitize all our stuff. We wear masks, still wear booties. We have institutionalized a digital means of communication, setting up virtual meetings via Zoom and Skype, and following up, obviously, still email and everything. So, yes, we've been, like I said, sanitizing everything and holding virtual meetings, which has been quite successful. I know I'm currently working with a designer, and, our first few meetings were digital, if you will. So I was able to show product and get the lay of what they were trying to achieve, and then we followed up with a physical in-person meeting.
So, and so folks can have Advanced Window Fashions out to their house. You'll visit their house.
Yes.
They can always do a virtual appointment, or they can come. Can they come to the Advanced Window Fashion store?
Yeah, to our showroom. Yes, we are open and have everything operating.
Good deal. And where is the Advanced Window Fashion showroom?
We are located at 502 Wando Park Boulevard, Suite 105, which is just past the 526 connector.
And that's in Mount Pleasant.
Yes.
All right, good deal. And what are some of the other ways that the folks can reach Advanced Window Fashions?
We have the website, which is advancedwindowfashions.com. We are on Google and by phone at 843-881-8858. And we also have a Facebook page as well.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Joseph Dultz with Advanced Window Fashions. Thanks so much, Joseph.
Thank you.
And now joining us on the phone is Drew Taylor with Carpenter's Restoration. How you doing, Drew?
Good, thanks, Tim.
Good. Drew, take a moment and tell everyone about Carpenter's Restoration.
Well, we're basically a custom cabinet shop. We're located in Mount Pleasant, and we offer about three major services or three major overheads of what the shop does. One of which is, of course, custom cabinets. The bulk of that is custom kitchens and bathrooms and butler's pantries and mud rooms and stuff like that, which we can facilitate for new builds, renovations, retrofits, things like that. We also do cabinetry refinishing, which is a kind of a neat service and product that we offer because it allows customers to utilize existing cabinets that they have that are good but maybe a little outdated or worn, or maybe the functionality has changed over the years since they put it in initially. We can go in and change the aesthetic of it, but also because of the custom side of the shop, we can also change components of that and then refinish it on site. And then thirdly, our custom furniture, which is obviously fun, huge passion for us. It's those unique pieces in spots where maybe you can't find something that you can order out of a catalog, and you need that piece that fits perfectly in the space, or maybe you have a contrast piece or a sort of statement piece in the room that you want to last forever. The stuff that we built is made to last forever. So we also offer custom furniture. Those are the three major things the shop does.
Gotcha. So when it comes to the furniture restoration, are we talking about like refinishing furniture, or will you actually build a piece of furniture from scratch?
Yeah, the name kind of leads you thinking one thing. The furniture is custom built, so we'll build from scratch a piece based on either a design that the customer would provide to us, or a designer, or something that we sit and kind of come up with them based on the needs of the space, or the aesthetic that the customer is trying to do. And we'll take that from the ground up and take care of everything from building, fabrication, finishing, and delivery or setting the piece in place. Basically, we treat it just like our custom cabinets, and take care of everything from start to finish with the customer.
Farm tables, would that be one of the items that Carpenters Restoration could build from scratch for someone?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the pieces that we're seeing for standalone pieces, actual pieces of furniture, we do a lot of dining room tables. Seems to be that unique piece that a lot of times, you can't find that fits just right. Like if it's going on a porch, say you're doing an outdoor table and the porch has a specific tolerance, and everything that you're finding is just either a bit too big or a bit too small, you need that custom piece built. That's where we can really help a customer dial in and get what they want. A lot of people will, see the pitch, see what they want in a catalog so that they can visualize it, but the overall dimensions of that piece aren't right. So then they can bring us the picture and say, hey, we love this piece, but it's not offered in our size. Can you make it in, this size? And we basically, use the piece as our, or the picture as our inspiration. And then we design a piece that's basically exactly what they need for their space. I'd say that dining room tables are one of the bigger ones, that we see. We do a lot of, and this is kind of a cross between the two, built-in beds seem to be something that's kind of picking back up, and that's almost, you're crossing from cabinetry to furniture in that particular product, but it's definitely another big one that seems to be trending these days.
Like bunk houses kind of thing?
Yeah, bunk beds, but even just like regular beds that people are having us build into a unique space, say like a bonus room or a play room. A lot of additional dwelling units like frogs and stuff like that, people are having us build in beds that have that really finished. It's worked into maybe a bench seat and then flows into a bed that has, maybe some drawers that come out underneath the bed, and a mattress sits right on top of what we build, and it's a fixed piece, and built right in to match the, aesthetic and the design of the room. And it's just a very, really high-end look and really finished look. Brings a lot of value to that room or that space, and also, functionality-wise, it's, the bed is built around the space, so it's obviously a perfect fit in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have any customers that either bring you the materials, the lumber? Maybe there's some sort of materials that came out of an older home or something that they might have a sentimental attachment to, and ask you to use those materials to build this custom-made furniture?
Yeah, absolutely. Customers, especially these days, it's definitely, people are always on the hunt for a unique piece that they can reclaim or use or repurpose. So, yeah, we'll definitely take a look at, an item that a customer has either saved over the years. Some people will, you know, bring a piece, an old piece of furniture, even that maybe was a family piece that, you know, either is broken or too big or isn't relevant anymore, but it has, like you said, that sentimental value to it, and they want it incorporated into, you know, some sort of design, depending on what the project is and what they're looking for. You know, a lot of, you know, pieces are turned into mantles. Like, that seems to really be a big one. You can take a piece of furniture even and repurpose it to be, you know, some sort of a mantelpiece or a decor piece on a hood in a kitchen, you know, things like that. But definitely we'll look at, you know, outside material that a customer has saved or found, and if their desire is to somehow work that into either their cabinetry or their furniture, well, we're all for it. That's what custom is really all about, is you're able to kind of dream and see it how you want it or how you envision it, and we show you how we can make that happen.
Does Carpenter's Restoration, do you create any furniture just on a speculative basis, or is it all sort of on demand where you know, you're getting a contract to, you know, to build a specific piece for customers?
Right now, it's really contract. We work with a lot of designer. A lot of our custom furniture is designer-driven, so customers that are working with an interior designer and helping them navigate the huge universe of design and, you know, outfitting and accessorizing their spaces, they will use us to help create the piece that the designer is helping them take through now. Having said that, we are actually starting to get into making some of our own pieces, you know, based on what we see people using and gravitating towards, you know, materials that people like, and incorporating those into items that seem to be where people are, where it's lacking, and where people aren't able to find these pieces already out there, already on the shelf or in a magazine. And with our new design studio that'll be opening up soon, we hope to have several of those pieces sort of in there at any given time that will either help inspire people, like if they want to come in and see an example, or even, you know, if they identify with that piece and that works for them, then that, you know, they could potentially buy that, or we could finish it the way they want it to and then deliver it. So we're kind of in that in-between stage with that. Most of our stuff is driven by direct ordering or contract, and we are sort of in the process of starting to build our own piece. We've got one of our first walnut dining room tables in the shop actually right now that will be featured in our design studio when it opens up in the Old Village. And that'll be one of the centerpieces. We're actually use that particular table as like a meeting space where we'll meet customers and lay out their custom cabinet projects or go over a custom piece of furniture. And that table itself will be on display for people to see.
What's the most unique material or object that a homeowner brought you to rework or repurpose? Have you ever done any? I remember watching This Old House a couple years ago, where they pulled a log out of the Edisto River, and
some sunken cypress or something.
Exactly. Have you ever done anything like that?
We've done a couple of, reclaimed lumber for sure. Like, sunken cypress is definitely one. A lot of times those are used for statement pieces like mantles or beams or things. I'd say that maybe some of the more interesting stuff, or stuff that had a story, you know, behind it and interwoven into a family already, is like a piece of furniture that you're having us do. We've taken, you know, old family pianos and turned them into desks, you know, or office desks or coffee tables. We've taken old Victrola turntables and old box radios and turn them into liquor cabinets and, you know, cool little accent pieces that still tell a story and are worked into the customers' lives and history, but made, you know, made for the next sort of generation of use and more relevant to them, you know, especially in the sense of a piano or a Victrola table that's not being used anymore. So those are probably a couple of the unique pieces from customers. And then, yeah, Sunken Cypress specifically is probably one of the more unique pieces. We do also do a lot of, you know, aged wood or historic wood. It hasn't been, you know, sunken in a river or body of water, but we've built custom walnut table out of walnut that a customer had saved for, you know, over 20 years. They had a tree taken down in an old, you know, on an old farm that they owned, and he had it stored for decades, waiting for the time that he was going to be able to make, you know, this forever table that he'd been dreaming about for years. And we were fortunate enough to work on that project with him and utilize this wood that had been essentially, you know, with his family or with him for a couple decades, and finally give it new life. And, you know, he had that tree in his yard back, you know, 20 years ago, and now he's got it turned into a table in his dining room.
Oh, that's so great. I remember, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago about, I guess it was probably about 20 years ago when people were starting to take old dressers and convert them into like bathroom vanities. And I remember talking to Linda Page from Page's Thieves Market, which is no longer around, but she was horrified that people were buying these beautiful antiques and then, you know, repurposing them in that way, which required a lot of deconstruction.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a trend for sure. We did several of those, you know, back in the day. That we don't see that happening as much now with the vanities, but that basic idea is, you know, that's going to surface again. It'll just be in a different way. It'll be interesting to see what that is. If it gravitates towards a specific piece, like you said, people using dressers and repurposing to, you know, vanities, bathroom vanities. It'll be neat to see, you know, what comes, you know, what's the next sort of trend. It definitely see wood elements coming back into the design space, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I personally gravitate towards. I love, obviously, working with wood, but wood grain is a beautiful natural occurrence and is so, there's so much variety with different species and even the same species. You're never really matching one piece, especially if it's a real, you know, real solid product. You know, to have it copied in some way in nature is just, it's impossible.
Right,
So it is nice to see, you know, where an entire kitchen would be one color. We're seeing more colors come back and contrast colors, but then even incorporated that warm elements of wood, you know, the floating shelves that people have been using for a long time. Now, a lot of them, they're still using the floating shelves, which is, you know, a great thing, but a lot of them now are a different type of wood, maybe matched with, you know, the floor or another piece of furniture somewhere else to give a coherent message, design message, but also kind of make them a little bit more unique and warm inside a, you know, a cooler sort of backdrop of design. So that's a really awesome trend to see coming mm-hmm. back around.
We're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you, you know, whether we've talked a lot today about the custom furniture end of the business at Carpenter's Restoration, and whether it's that or the custom cabinets that Carpenter's Restoration creates, it all starts with you must have a very, very talented creative staff. Talk about the people that help create these beautiful custom cabinets and custom furniture.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're definitely, you know, very fortunate and blessed to have the team, the core team that we have. And that has been a journey to get, you know, the family that we've got woven together right now. Each one really represents part of the shop and helps facilitate, you know, the strength of that need, you know, from our building, you know, our guys building the stuff in the shop, our shop manager being able to, you know, solely concentrate on the best type of joinery that's used, the best adhesives, to our, you know, lead finisher or finishing manager being able to look at just the finish, to, you know, our design guys, myself and another of our designers that works in the studio. You know, we each have our corner in the shop, so we're not trying to do everything. And the team, that really allows the team to grow, because each person in the core, you know, on our core level or in our family level, can explore that zone of theirs and grow it. So we're always looking for, you know, the best finish techniques. Well, our, you know, master finisher can do that because he's not having to also learn how to do, you know, the best, you know, the newest hardware that's out there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our take on it. We have that family sort of platform, if you would, for the shop, and each person sort of represents a different part of that family, and we really encourage that person to grow into that section that they're sort of charged with managing, and bring us the, you know, the best of it, and have it at the table, so to speak, for the customer to be able to utilize.
Well, it's not too early to talk to Carpenters Restoration about a new kitchen cabinets. Restoring your kitchen cabinets, or maybe having a custom piece of furniture built, you know, in time for the holidays. How can folks get in touch with Carpenters Restoration?
Yeah, we try to make that as easy as possible. We have obviously our design studio in the Old Village. You can always just physically stop by. A lot of that's not going on these days. With what's going on with the COVID thing, but it's just as easy to email us. You can visit our website and access all the our different contact information, carpentersrestoration.com, and, you know, under the contact page you can see any one of us to reach out an email. You can call us. We've had the same, you know, phone number for over 40 years now, 843-884-3411, you know, phone call, a visit, or an email, and we'll find the best way to get to you and get you started.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Drew Taylor with Carpenters Restoration. Thanks so much, Drew.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Talking about a home, talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.